Hi guys, welcome to Love and Light podcast with Calista Adebayo, and I'm so excited to have you here again today. All right, so today's episode we'll be talking about a continuation of the last time's episode. So last time we started talking about sickle cell and all, and then we mentioned that it was going to be three different episodes talking about the same subject, but then we'll have different subtopics. So today is the second segment, and then the third segment hopefully will drop this week. So yes, this episode I have two amazing guests, and we'll be talking about different things, you know, sharing our experiences and all. But then I have great news for you guys. So we now have an IG handle, and you can follow us on Instagram at Love and Light Podcast or Podcast Love and Light. I will drop it on the description to this particular episode. Yeah, so you can always follow us on IG. I want to know you, I want to meet you, I want to hear from you. And I'm also excited to tell you that on the 22nd of this month, Love and Light Podcast will be clocking exactly 3 months. And yes, I can't wait to create magic for you guys. Thank you so much for believing in this. Thank you so much for pushing me to work harder. Thank you so much, guys. And don't forget, you can support this podcast if you want to support us financially, monetarily. If you want to share love, send love and light, you know, to your girl. Okay, so I would drop the handle, I'll drop the link in which you can actually support if you wish to, and as a form of token of appreciation, that's if you really do wish to. Thank you so much. Don't forget to share. Don't forget to comment. Don't forget to listen. Okay? That's the most important thing. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate you. Love you. Bye.
Hi, Calista.
Hi.
Welcome to another episode.
I know, right? Welcome. It's good to be here with you again today.
Good to be here. So today, you guys, we have Shay Evans in our midst. Shay.
Whoop, whoop. All right, Shay. So Shay.
I am Shay Evans.
Anyways, Shay. Okay. So real quick, Shay is a close friend. And yes, we feel like Shay would really love to be on this particular episode because we feel like she can relate to most of the things we will be talking about on this particular episode. And trust me, on this particular episode, you're going to have so much fun. We're talking about so many things. We'll do a recap from the last episode, a quick recap, talk about some new things. And yeah, let's just have some fun, create magic basically. So it's good to have you guys here. Lovejoy, it's good to be back here.
It's good to be back. And I'm so sorry for pushing this thing because, like, rah, it has not been easy on my end, man. But it's good to be back.
So I'm off as good, though. So let's talk about our childhood experiences as warriors. We talked about our parents' mental health. We also talked about physical activities we were allowed to participate in and those ones we were not allowed to participate in. And we talked about the fact that STD is not a transmittable disease.
Yeah, it's not.
Right? So for those of you who are just listening for the first time, we would like to inform you that this is a trilogy. It's three different episodes in one. And you have to actually listen to the first episode to understand what we'll be talking about on the second and on the third.
Sure.
So yes, we are coming together to talk about three different things, or let's say three different things, but then are still related to one root. So yes, you have to listen to the first episode, then enjoy the connected.
So basically, we've decided to come together. I am Calista, and now Shay is joining us, and like we're three warriors coming together to share our story and experiences in three episodes. And I'm just so excited! I can't wait for this to be out there. We wanted to bring one of our senior warriors and one of our motivators to come on the show, but she couldn't. Shout out to Sisi Okwe, CEO Fari by Steelbear. She's a makeup artist, she's a warrior also, and she has been just a source of encouragement, but we couldn't get her to join us on this episode. Maybe next time. But like, we have Shay, and we're so glad to have you, Shay. So today, let's just dive in. Today we're talking about occupation and career. We're talking about stress factors and restrictions, basically stigmatization, our religion, and you know, meet some facts about SCD. university. So I'll just dive into occupation. Like I said in the last episode, I wasn't allowed to do a lot of things because of the whole situation, and including school. My mom was advising me not to go to the sciences just because she thinks that it was a really stressful path.
To be too much stress.
Yeah, and all of that. And then like going into finances would be better because all you have to do is sit down and count money in it. Now that I'm older, you know, I am during my school days, I had the opportunity to dive into journalism. I became a radio host and I've sort of built a career around that. And now that I'm out of university, I've digressed further into other things because I've learned new skills in other areas. And now I'm not even doing anything related to biochemistry or anything that I studied in school. So just like a normal individual, I've not prohibited myself and said, oh, rah, because I'm a warrior, that means I have to not do this and not do that. I've come to realize that so long as it is not physical or something that is dangerous to my health, then I have as much opportunity as the next person to take part and do, you know, anything that I want to do. So Shayu, let's go on and ask you, how's it been for you, your career and your patients since, you know, throughout your life basically?
Thank you. Well, I can only say one thing. It has actually helped me right from the time I actually had my self-actualization, you know, in regard to my health. You know what self-actualization is? It has actually helped me to, like, you know, fight through each day, having at the back of my mind that my diagnosis as a sickle cell patient did not completely define my existence.
True.
You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
So yeah. The moment I actually realized that I've made it something in my life that I would not allow it to actually restrict me. Okay, I mean, in uni, Calista, we went to the same uni, we studied English and International Studies, quite all right. It wasn't actually, you know, very easy to pass through school, if you know what I mean. And I'm very sure, I mean, every other person in our shoes would actually have almost the same story, if not the same. Well, somebody like me, aside from, you know, studying English and International Studies, you understand, I have always been a fan of events and organization. I mean, events management and organization. And right from uni days, I've always been participating in anything that had to do with events. You may not even see me in front, but I'm always at the backstage. I'm always like part of the people that would have, you know, gone through the whole process, the whole planning, you know, and everything like that. And leaving university, I've continued in that path. My career now, I am like an admin person / event person in my organization, working in a fintech company, you know. Yeah. So it has always been like a struggle, I say, because you know what, event management, you know.
Yeah, it can be hectic at times and it's quite physical.
You understand? And then the thing is, not everybody would actually know what you are passing through.
True.
Not everybody would know how much you are putting into the thing work. But because I had that strong view that I was not going to let anybody, you know, demean my contribution, you know, towards making something work. It can be a lot stressful, I would not lie. Like, it can be a lot stressful because then I have to think, oh my god, if I do too much, I know my stress limit most times, but you know, I have this, I don't know what to call it. I have this thing. Let me just say the thing that if I can, I like to surpass my stress limit. Yeah, let me put it like that. You get, I like to surpass it because I'm always like, okay, if I'm saying I can't do this thing because of my health, I mean, what would that make me when I know
True.
That I can actually struggle a bit more to actually, you know, complete
and,
this task?
And you know, talking about what you just said, Shay, a lot of people say that people with SCD actually are overachievers. Look at Tosin Bucknell, look at you know, for even me in my little circle, I get that a lot of people saying that, oh, I want to do the most, or I want to achieve a lot, because like, and I feel that's a good thing, if in the sense that for me, how I say it is, I actually don't have a lot to lose, and I feel like that's why I give my all to everything that I do, because what do I have to lose, really? If I die tomorrow, what will I be remembered for? You know, we don't know when the the pain that will take you away will come, you know. And why can't I give it all now
when I can, instead of trying to, you know, pull back because of one condition that you cannot actually control.
True. And we don't like putting ourselves in any box, because that's what I found out about myself. I hate people limiting me just so, because, you know. And that's why I fight a lot with my mom. Exactly. Because she's like, oh, don't do this, just be careful. But like, I don't want to be in that box. I feel like I have every opportunity as the next person, so like, why should I be, you know, restricted? I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
Talking about restriction, I've heard from Shay. Now I want to hear from you, Lovejoy. You know, last week we didn't actually get the chance to actually move into this topic and talk about it extensively. So real quick, let's talk about restriction from your own end. In what ways were you restricted? In what ways did you face restrictions?
Oh, well, for me, Calista, my doctor told me not to wear high shoes, not to wear stilettos or, you know, 6-inch heels and all of that, because that would affect my leg and all that. So most of the time when I wear shoes, I like to wear either flat sole shoes or wedges. And but from time to time, I really do break those rules. But apart from that, what are the restrictions? Just stay away from stress, take your folic acids and all of that, and sports, physical activities, basically. A lot of people say, oh, don't take alcohol and all of that, but I'm a party girl, you can't take that away from me, really. I think that's about it for me.
Let's say I was restricted from quite a number of things. Take for example, I don't wear anything that has yellow, cream, you know, stuff like that.
Why?
Because it's, oh, well, there's this belief that when I do, it reflects in my eyes. Like my eyeballs turn yellow and all. And then right from when I was a child, I don't think you even find anything that has yellow in my closet, or cream or green, or you get something close to yellow anyways. So that was actually the question I wanted to throw to you guys. Is it like a general thing, Shay? Is there like a thing that bans us from wearing such clothes?
I don't know about not wearing a yellow dress color. I've not heard it before. This is like the first time I'll be hearing something like that. So I can't really say. I mean, I don't know about that. I don't know. Does it affect? Top or a yellow dress? Is it because your eyeballs are like yellow, then it matches with your yellow dress or something? I don't like that.
Like, it's believed that it reflects, like, let's say your eyes are clear and then you put on something cream, yellow, green, it turns to green or yellow or cream. You get something like that.
No, for me, regarding that though, there is restrictions I've had is I get a lot of going wear your glasses from my mom, because like, it covers the yellow of the eyes. So I get a lot of one wear your glasses when I'm going out, so that, you know, people don't get to look into my eyes and all of that. But like, I'm not really a fan of yellow or green or any of the colors that you mentioned. It's not my style, but I really don't see a correlation to that. But another thing that I did concerning like the eye color was get like contact lenses that were medicated, so that the attention will go from that, you know, yellow part of my eyes to the color of my contact lens. It just gave me like a different look.
But real quick, talking about restrictions and colors and all, something crossed my mind and I would like to throw it out to the open. I want to ask you around about it for 1 second. Guys, like, no one likes to be approached by someone telling them, oh, why are your eyes yellow? Or you should drink more water. You know, no, those seriously, I don't know if it happens with you guys, but those statements piss the day out of me. Like, they piss the hell out of me. Don't walk up to me giving me suggestions on how you think I've not been taking so much water and maybe that is why my eyes are not so clear.
Or
why are my eyes yellow and stuff like that. Keep your old advice and all to yourself. Yes, for some people their advice comes from a place of love, but then some other people
just like, you know.
I really don't get, like, if I like, and let me take all the 5 gallons of water in a day, if it's supposed to be yellow, it'll be yellow. it's not like I'm really sure about it.
There is one thing that I can't really relate to, because my eyeballs have never actually been, you know, that yellow. I kind of like have clear eyeballs only when I'm super stressed. And when I start having crisis, that's when my eyeballs turn a bit yellow. I mean, usual. That's when my eyeball color turns, like, you know, towards yellow, tilts towards yellow, and not my normal clear eyes most times. So I cannot really relate to that eyeball something. Most times, like 80% of, okay, let me generalize it. 80% of the time, and I meet people, they don't actually take a first guess that I am a sickle cell patient.
Same.
It's maybe the only people that would like know are those that maybe like they have really close people that have sickle cell, or doctors. I've come across a doctor before that didn't even know at first meeting that I am a sickle cell patient. Like, he had to ask. And I was like, won't you ask me? Like, I was like, I wanted to, I came for consultation. But not like, it was like, he did not know. Like, he had no clue. I was actually a sickle cell patient until I had to tell him that, oh God, this is what I came for now. Like, don't go and do something else, that kind of thing. So, like, because I've not gone through any test. I just, you know, met him and told him.
Yeah, so she
does. But I think sickle cell actually varies. Like, I've come across a lot of sickle cell patients that we cannot even relate to having the same experience. You understand? And we are both sickle cell patients. You dig?
So today we're talking about occupation. Okay, so how easy it has been for us to get jobs, challenges at the work line, you know, basically occupation and SCD. So I would like to start with Lovejoy.
Occupation wise, how has it been? So, you know me, I'm a girl of many talents. I do this, I do that, a lot of that. But I feel like I can do anything so long as it's not physical. So long as it doesn't need me to, my physical strength and, you know, powers or ability, then I can't do it. But when anything that's intellectual, that I can do with ease, you know, I studied biochemistry, did that, aced it. I had a career as a radio host. I'm currently a podcaster, and now I work in digital marketing, you know. So I think that I've gone through most of the career lines, and I've recorded successes. So the only thing is, for my employer, I don't come on to tell them that, oh, this is what I struggle with, you know, because it might be a bias. And also, when I'm going for an interview or something, I just make sure that I don't look like it, because it might be like a bias. We know how Nigerians are. Do you understand what I mean? So check this out. I did like a poll 2 weeks ago on my WhatsApp, and I was like, would you hire someone that's, you know, when they say, oh, tell us about yourself, and they go, I'm also a sickle cell warrior, and most of people said no, and a lot of people said, oh, it depends. So you can already see that bias, that if, even though we want to be vocal about it, even though we want to share or share our experiences or spread the word, you know, it has a limit to which you cannot. On social media, I put it out there, and I put on my story and everything that, oh, I'm a warrior and all of that. And my boss saw it, and I can say that since then, maybe she has treated me differently. I can't really put my hands on it, but I can see, you know, the reluctance, you know, to tell me to do certain things and all of that. You know, it's just like, oh, maybe it's pity or something. I really don't. Can't put my hands to it, but like, I literally can't sense it. So it's not us, it's them. It's the stigmatization, it's the, you know, less of oneself, or the view of people, and not just basically from the patient themselves.
Okay, so Shay, work-wise, occupation, challenges?
No, the thing is, truthfully, most of the people I work with, like, let me say, like, more than half of the people I work with, I don't tell them my health status. Especially when I know that it's not the kind of job that, you know, my health would make it a problem for me to deliver. Do you understand? Only when I know that, okay, this thing that I'm about to do for this client, or this thing I'm about to do for this person, would actually, you know, take more of my physical, you know, strength, and I would proceed to tell the person, okay, just, you know, giving you an heads up, I have sickle cell, but then that would not stop me. I am always very vocal about it when I need to be. But the other half, and I know that, okay, maybe all I need to do is, because I write proposals for people. I write proposals, I write reviews, I do reviews for people and stuff like that. I edit for people. So those kind of jobs, you know, that has to do with me just doing my thing and delivering. I don't have to maybe even see you in person or maybe be with you. Do you understand? I won't even tell you. You don't have to know. I will just do what I have to do and then deliver. And I'll make sure I deliver at the right time, because I want to get my money, you know, understand. So aside from that, my job that actually, you know, requires me making you know that this is my health status, that is brand management and event planning. And that one, I would only tell the person I'm actually working directly with. I don't have to tell the other team members. The only reason I'm telling the person I'm working directly with, maybe the person that is like my direct boss or something, or that is hiring me for this event or something, is just so you know that if I slack for a bit, I am a very rebellious person, and I get very rebellious with my health as well. I always know, like I said before, when I have that self-actualization about my health, I always know my limits. Although I tend to go past it, I don't make it an excuse to not want to do my job.
True.
Do you understand? So I only tell the people that are relevant to know about my health status. I don't know if I'm going to get a job, another job now that will actually require me stating my health status, like, you know, like maybe a job that will actually, you know, that actually needs all of my full strength, you understand? Maybe then. But right now, most times I don't even want people to know. The only way you would probably know is if you see me post a sickle cell day on my status, or rather on my Instagram or something. And most times, you know, it's gone after like a day. So if you see it, you see it. If you don't see it, you don't see it. Mm. You know that. It's only if I tell you personally that, oh, this is who I am and what I am.
But can I ask Shayu, why would you? You said that you don't like people knowing. Why is that?
Not like I don't like people knowing. I just don't give the essence for them to know. If you're not like, if you're not required to know, I won't tell you. Like, this is it. Only if I see the need for me to tell you, then I'll tell you. I cannot just, you know, meet somebody today and maybe I know that our meeting cannot be more than 30-40 minutes, or maybe I enter a restaurant and I want to order food and I'll tell you. I cannot stand on the queue because I'm a people self-patient. No, I won't. You understand?
What then happens when you're in a work situation and then you have crisis while at work? How do you handle sort? How do you deal with it at that particular moment? Lovejoy?
Well, I've not had anything like that happen to me. But thing is, what I try to do is I just find my way home. Most of the time, people that I work with know, because I'm very vocal about it, so they know. And when I say, oh, I need to go home, I just take and pick my bag and I go home. They understand. That's why I feel like we need to be vocal about it, because we don't know when it can, you know, come on. So when people around you have a knowledge of what you are about, and then you say, oh, I need to go home, then they'll see the need for you to go home. Nobody's going to tell you anything. You can literally just pick your bag and go home. That's it for me.
Shay?
Like I said before, whoever I'm working with directly, I would, you know, I feel compelled to, you know, tell you beforehand. That is who I'm working with directly. When in a situation where I know I'm working with a certain set of people that don't know about my health status, and then kind of thing crisis comes up, I mean, like I said, I think I manage myself pretty well, thank God. And so I hardly have it. But yeah, sometimes when I actually have it, I don't even keep it. Like when I know that, yes, I'm having this pain crisis and it's popping up in the middle of something important that I have people around that I'm working with, the next thing I do is I just let them know. Like it will start gradually for me. Like if I see that I can no longer, you know, keep it in, because trust me, I can smile. Like I can give you the brightest smile when I'm in deep pain.
That's a secret superpower.
You get, like, I can literally, like, I can glow. You know when they say glow? I'm glowing in pain. So yes, that there's sometimes that yes, when I know that I cannot handle it anymore, I just voice it out and I'll be like, please, I'm having cry, I'm in pain. And then if people that don't know now want to start, you know, maybe turning their eyes or turning their nose or whatever, I'm like, what have you done that you're feeling pain? And she said, I'm having sexual crisis. That you get it or not, I'm off here. I let them know instantly, there and then.
True. That's fair.
So, talking about occupation from my own aspect, I've tried as much as possible to keep it to myself, because I literally feel like if you don't need to know, then I should not necessarily be telling you. But even down to my direct bosses, I try as much as possible to keep it away from them. Only if, for one reason or the other, I have to be vocal about it, I have to tell my direct boss. Okay, take for example, at work, I can relate with Lovejoy because we've worked together, and I know literally she doesn't come up to say, you know, it's not like everybody knows this or is stapled on her forehead that, well, she's going through this or that. Same way, I don't come around jumping around saying, oh, I'm going through this and that or that. But then sometimes my body could be telling me to relax or rest or, you know, cut myself some slack. And I could just walk up to my head of programs and just in our office and just tell her, I need to go home. I don't need to explain beyond that. She understands and then she covers for me. Sometimes I literally push my system to work because, you know, like you said, whenever we're told don't do something, we always like to bend over double and, you know, do it as much as we can to the best of our capabilities. So even when people would naturally go 1 hour to 2 hours at work, just an example, and, you know, get tired and you're just fed up and all, you literally can say, oh, Calista cast news, Calista runs this program, Calista, I want you to go and cover this event all at once. And my body, literally, my system literally could be telling me, mama, sit down, rest, calm down. But then I just want to do everything, I want to work. But then when my system starts telling me, you're pushing yourself, you're overdoing it, then I just cut out time. Okay, take for example, there was this day I was running my program live on air, and out of the blues, I had a 2-hour program, and out of the blues, maybe like an hour into the show, I started having pain cries. Oh my god, I literally could not tell my colleagues, my co-hosts, I couldn't go off here because we're joking on air. You know, when you're going, the next thing you have pains, and then you just have to continue with the joke, whether you like it or not, and find it funny. And then I went to a musical break, and I kept rubbing my leg, kept hitting it. And then my colleagues kept asking, like, what's going on? Are you fine? And then I just told them, just get me water. And fortunately, I had a painkiller in my bag because I knew the show had to go on either ways. I can't cut the show in between because I was having a pain crisis. So I had to run the show for the whole 2 hours, and immediately I was done. I just carried my bag. Thank you very much. Times, even when you're going through the pains, when it feels like you're having a whole lot of stress and your body needs to relax, sometimes you might be deep into work and you just have to just go through with it and stop until you're done. Okay, take for example, there was one time my boss approached me. I think it was last year, World Sickle Cell Day. You know, they were doing this campaign and talk on air, and he wanted me to come out to share my experience as a warrior. At first, I didn't mind, but then later I thought about it. I'm just starting my career. Do I want to restrict myself that way? Like, do I want to put it out in the open and then have everybody go, no, don't give out that word. You know, the old set of things I went through as a child, do I want to actually go through it at the workspace or at work? I had to consider all these things and decide. So I politely turned him down. So I'm very sorry, I would not be able to come on air to talk about it, because I know I still have a long way to go. So I don't want to come out and restrict myself from whatever work offer or opportunities available because someone somewhere feels like I'm not capable of doing it because of, you know, my health. So basically, that's about occupation. So
mental health. So I'm just going to go through it. Really, I'm raising up my hands and let me talk. Because for real, it has not been easy on my mental health. Like, I literally can't even lie about this. Like, it's something else, really. Because it's a lifelong challenge, you know what I'm talking about. And how can I can't even put it to words. That's how heavy it is. But, like, what I want to say is that it will bite your self-confidence it would bite your core. Like, you'll be tested every time, every day, in every area. We're still going to talk about religion. It will test your faith in your maker. It would test your parents. Growing up, I used to think that maybe I was adopted, because, like, why me? Do you understand? It would test your everything, because it's a battle we fight every day, every freaking day that we wake up, because it will affect how you look like, how much of a person that you can stand to be. You know, you be fighting for acceptance all the time. Now, that's like, okay, we already addressed how it was growing up. We already talked about childhood experience, and then all through secondary school and university, every day was a struggle. Every day was like, there was not going to be a next day, you know. The ability to overcome one crisis pain is a superpower, like I said earlier. Then talk about, like, the fact that your siblings don't get to understand what you're going through. Your friends, like, nobody can totally understand the extent to which you're suffering, because it literally is suffering in descent. Another thing, like we just talked about, is uncertainty. You don't know how much you're going to live for. You don't know if you should pursue this career. If you should not pursue this career, you don't know what the next day holds, literally. Okay, for a while I was a makeup artist, a professional makeup artist, that's that. And I had a client that was supposed to, you know, do makeup for the next day. And in the middle of the night, you know, it just started happening. And in my head, I'm like, oh my God, am I not just, what's going to happen? And, you know, it's business. You have to pay me half of the money before I can come work for you. And then she had already paid half of it.
Okay.
Basically, you know, I was having pains. I was trying to battle pains, and at the same time, I was trying to, you know, think whether I need to return back half of the money that she paid me, or I need to call up some other makeup artist friend to go and do the job for me. We should allow her the job because she already hired me. How's I going to explain it? You know, a lot of things was going through my mind, but I shouldn't really be thinking about them. I should concentrate on getting over the pain, right? But I could not, for some weird reason, because I had some responsibility, you know, at another place, something that I should really be doing, something that I worked hard to do. Do you get what I mean? So it was really a battle for me. And now that I'm older, we're going to get into that later on, but like, it's relationship. Now I'm 25. Everybody expects that, oh, I should be seeing someone that I'm serious with, or on the road to, you know, getting married. But like, I'm still struggling with a lot of, you know, self-confidence, or who's going to accept me? Am I going to be a burden to this person? A lot of things that goes through one's mind every day. And again, your doctor will even advise you not to think about anything and stay away from stress. But these things are there, and you need to, they're constantly in your mind, and there's no motivational speech that will make them go away, because that's your reality. You get what I mean? But that's what it is.
Okay, Shay, for you?
Mental health for me has actually been a struggle. I used to tell myself that I am a person with a very strong will.
True.
And honestly, that has been one thing that has kept me going. I never really had to like meet another person's encouragement to help myself. Till today, I don't know how I got to this stage. I mean, I don't know where that strong will came from. But I just think that I found that I was what I was meant to have. Trust me, I have breakdowns like as often as I don't even know what I can compare it with. Because like you said, Lovejoy, like it's a reality. I mean, people sell you knowing already, like, you know, when we knew that we had to live with this thing, it had become part of us. I mean, we had probably orchestrated our lives into, you know, molding it into how we could manage it with, you know, what sickle cell actually entails.
Yeah.
Now, imagine that you kind of like consciously or unconsciously molded your life into the fact that you know that you have sickle cell and you have to battle with everything. Like, it's like the first thing in your mind when anything pops up. I mean, when you want to do something, you have to think of your health first. Like, it is draining. It is mentally draining. Like, you have to think that your health has to be the first thing that, like, it's not, you know, when somebody comes to you with this job that, oh, come and do this thing, or somebody comes to you and say, oh, let's go to this place. I know somebody else will just, you know, be so excited that you just want to jump at passive, but then before you want to jump passive, you want to shout, you want to scream and be excited, but then that excitement will just be cut short by the realization that, oh my God, what if my health fails? Mm-hmm. How am I going to manage it with my health? Mm-hmm. You know, it cuts everything in short. Like, it makes you feel draining. Let me just say that. But then, like I said, strong will has been able to, you know, it has helped me come this far. And I'm kind of like, I encourage myself much more than anybody does. I usually don't need somebody else to tell me, oh, Shay, you can do this. I pretty much tell myself that every time. I mean, I'm like, I just want to go head on, not wanting to, you know, think about my health first sometimes. I know it can be risky that you want to do things without thinking about health first, but I always want to do that. I always want to think that. For a while, I mean, sometimes you don't have to think about your health first. Think about the fact that you want to enjoy this thing that you want to do, or you want to enjoy this news that somebody has brought to you without thinking about your health. Mm-hmm. I mean, because if you're not doing like that, trust me, I don't know how everybody else has it, but it can crush somebody's soul, and I'm not even joking. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to like make a conscious effort to not, you know, to not be mentally drained about the fact that you have sickle cell, especially when you already know everything that, you know, that comes with it, everything that you have to manage, everything that you have to do with little or no help from somebody else. Because trust me, as a sickle cell patient, there is only so much another person can help you go through. You have to go through it yourself.
Okay.
Like, there's so much somebody can encourage. Sometimes it doesn't even matter. Somebody will come and tell you, give you motivational quotes. Sometimes the motivational quotes or whatever, the motivational words and advice or somebody will come and tell you, not even tally or match what you're actually going through. But then it's all love, we understand. But then if you don't groom yourself, mental health as a sickle cell patient can drain you, especially if you're that kind of person that always wants to, you know, that always wants to deliver, that always wants to do stuff, that wants to be involved. If you're that kind of person, see, to add to this thing, I kind of like stopped modeling because of this health issue. I mean, the day I had a pain crisis, I don't know, I just have the reason why it could be wrong with me, that this thing could happen, but I wanted to, you know, just brush it off that, oh no, you can do this. So sometimes, even when you tell yourself that you can do it, and then you go on and do it, you can fail in the middle. You might not actually be able to do it. I mean, it has happened to me in real life before. So I mean, thinking about all that, going back home and thinking about, I mean, something that somebody else would do effortlessly, but because of what you cannot even control, you can't even, you know, you can't deliver as much as you want. Trust me, it's not easy. It's really not easy. I'm taking this to my soul, but it's not easy. It's not easy, but we thank God.
Thank you for sharing. I really want to say this, like, thank you, Shay, for sharing that, because it's just like you just spoke my heart right now. Like, right, that place when you said that you might start it but not be able to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, finish. That's deep. Like, I really had plans to, like, start this makeup business thing. Yeah, I was taking it seriously. At some point, I even got an award for my entrepreneurship skills in uni, just because I was doing so well. But I had to quit, like, because, number one, I didn't have the hand to tie Gilly. So when I was learning, I didn't even know that, because I didn't have the strength to. And then being a makeup artist, the job is quite physical. You have to stand for long hours, you have to do this and do that, and so it was just really stressful. I really wanted to do it. Like, I had the flair, I had the passion, I had the vision for it. I already planned everything in my head, but I just had to quit to look for something less physically draining or demanding, and just stick to what I am now. Even though I'm trying to make the best of what I'm doing now, I still live in that reality that I'm in a box, even though I don't want to put myself in the box. And so thank you so much for sharing with me, Shay.
So mental health, it could be draining, like you both have said. I took time to listen to you guys, and then I realized that it's especially the same thing for each and every one of us. We go through a whole lot, you know, limitations, basically, you know, aside from
physical limitations that we go through every day. Sometimes emotional is there, psychological is there. You want to do something somewhere, somehow, and then your mind stops you in between. Related to a relationship, maybe you want to get into a relationship, and then you have to consider the fact that your health factor is there. You want to achieve whatever goal, maybe job-wise, you want to do anything, even down to maybe just wanting to dance or just wanting to go for a swim. And then you have to consider all these things, and then you have to decide, is it worth it? Like, would you go through maybe 1 hour of pleasure to later go through maybe like 5 hours of pain? And you have to think about all these things, and then it drains you. Like she said earlier, it really drains you. It could really be draining and devastating sometimes. And you know, the painful part is, even talking about stress factor now, I want to relate it to stress factor. Sometimes even when you try to be at the best, at your best, try to be happy and excited, one bad thing is you might be really excited, really happy, and you might not know that even that happiness and that excitement, that might be your trigger.
True.
Because literally anything can be your trigger. It could be true. Sadness, it could be stress, it could be excitement. So even when you're even excited, maybe someone breaks a really great news to you, and then you're excited, your mind has to tell you, like, don't overdo it. Okay, yes, I understand you're excited, but then chill, because you don't want to trigger a pain crisis. So yeah, like you guys said, it could really be draining, and it takes a whole lot to be strong. It takes a whole lot to hold it together, trust me.
Thank you so much for sharing, Calista. That takes me to relationship too. What has it been like?
It's very tough. I won't even mind what we hear. It has been one of the toughest journeys so far, because at this age, like you said earlier, at this age, at this point in time, everyone expects that you're either in a very serious relationship or you're about getting married. You know, basically, there's someone in your life. I won't like to deny the fact that there are pressures. I don't know about you guys, but there are pressures here and there right now. The pressures might not come from your family. Sometimes it comes from friends. Sometimes it comes from people, strangers' sentences. Now, when I say strangers, I don't mean people you don't know. They might not be close to you, but then they feel like you should be doing something about, in quotes, your situation. And then they don't know that their comments and all add a whole lot. You're already tense. You're already stressed out about this particular issue. And then they're adding more pressure to it. All throughout university days, whenever I go to hospital for whatever, I have doctors and nurses sitting me down to tell me, oh, do you know you need a man in your life? Oh, do you know that when you have a man in your life, you will deal with crisis? I don't know
who
you brought about their theory, but
for real?
Jesus Christ, totally, for real. Because you have a whole lot of love and blah, blah, blah. And then I've had some tell me, oh, do you know you need to get married early? And
To cut you off there, Calista, like, why do you need him, and what does that help with?
That's why I say I don't understand their theory. So I've had some tell me that you need to get married early, you need to give birth early, because there's always high mortality rates and all. You know, all these things alone are pressures, because every day, every year, you wake up with the fact that, oh, okay, you're actually, in quotes, getting older. Yeah, relationship-wise, it's been a struggle. It's been really tough. It's been quite, you know, getting a partner, being in a relationship at all. When you feel like you guys are really connecting and maybe things are really going smoothly, you know, one way or the other, you have to actually ask about the genotype to, you know, make sure you guys are compatible or you guys fit medically. So I had to ask questions, you know, and it's like every time I try to ask someone, I feel like I'm vibing with questions. It turns out maybe they're AS, right? So it's been really tough when you feel like you really like someone, and then at the end of the day, you feel it can't work out because the person is not medically compatible with you.
True.
But then I've been fortunate, in quote, to meet people who are AA. It's just been really painful that they mostly come to play games. That's just painful part of it. Most of them come with the intention of playing games, and it's really not cool, because when you're going through a whole lot, both physically and emotionally,
yeah, you don't need that. You don't need that.
And then I met other people, AAs in quotes, and I don't know, but then AA, literally, if you're listening to this, catch yourself. You people are proud. No, you're proud. Seriously.
those that it is pride factor, like, excuse me, I'm hot cake, you get. Honestly, you should feel like that, you should feel that way. But then sometimes when you feel like you're hot cake, and then you feel this lady wants you, that lady wants you, this lady wants you, you're not considering the fact that maybe you are telling someone like me that you want me, and then maybe you're actually playing games, you're not being sincere, and how it will make me feel at the long run, you get. Aside from making, maybe it hurts me physically or whatever, how it will make me feel emotionally, mentally, considering the fact that I feel, oh, maybe someone accepted me for who I am, and then at the long run it turns out to be a facade. It will really break me to know that maybe the person was just playing games. So I feel like it's not fair when people do that a whole lot, and it's been tough. I'm really happy for all those that have really good relationship. Trust me, man, I envy them every now and then. But then it's really been tough having a partner with this particular health condition or uniqueness.
Yeah, events, she has it been for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm so sorry that I had to laugh, because you see, me, I'm like, I've always been a tough one. And emotional wise, I have never been really dependent, you get. So, okay, let me put it like this. Well, one of my fears, actually, you know, since I realized what my health status entails, is the fact that I made the choice of a life partner. I would willingly and lovingly choose to understand and live with what me and my health brings. You know, that choice of that life partner has always been, I've always had that fear, rather. And I'm still even trying to overcome it, even though sometimes it feels like the going is going good. You get what I'm trying to say? Okay, so I've not had a breakup that had to do with my health status before. I wouldn't lie, I have not had it. And that's because personally, I can fight and act for other needs to be met in my relationships. Like, I can fight for you to give me this kind of need or give me this attention. I can fight for every other thing apart from my health. I can never force my partner to be bothered about my health. That's one thing I make sure about. Like, I am never expectant when it comes to my health. So when we get talking, I mean, norms, if I see that I'm liking and stuff, I'll tell you down straight, I have sickle cell. Fine, brother, yeah, hey. Okay, congratulations. But I don't see me say, you know, see if you see guy before me tomorrow, that kind of thing. You understand? I used to let them know. I see, I have it. I'm a sickle cell patient. Yeah, hey. Does not mean that anything cannot happen, no. Like, I used to kind of like instill that idea in them, that you would never have the right to look down on me because I want to be in a relationship with you and I am a sickle cell patient. Like, I never give them that right. I don't always allow them to, you know, demean my health status in any chance. So I don't know if it is that one that used to, you know, allow them to act proper in court. Do you understand? So I'm only like, okay, I won't force you to be bothered about my health, because I believe that it should actually come naturally, because I've allowed you to know from the start.
True.
I can't force your attention. I can't care on my health. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
But one thing I know at the back of my mind is that I know I can't force you, but one thing I know is I know when to walk away.
That's important. Even with people that, you know, they're just, you know, normal people in a relationship, knowing when to walk away is another superpower.
When I notice the constant lack in this, you know, in this type of things, when I know that, okay, fine, you will notice it. If I notice that you're not even bothered, you are not showing that kind of care, I will not tell you that, oh, actually, you don't know that I was having a headache yesterday, I'm supposed to let me know, or I will not even ask you whether your parents are even going to be fine with it. And they are not eating babies. Like, I've told you my health status right from time. As you're supposed to put 2 and 2 plus 2 together before even saying yes, you want to date me. You are supposed to do all that on your own. You cannot come and be adding to my stress. I don't want to be thinking about that for you. I've told you my health status. You should know that, okay, yes, this is what you're supposed to do. This is what you're supposed to allow. Or maybe you should, or if you're a man, you want to date men, girls. Like, I've told you that this is my L status. So you will now come back and come and tell me your mom said, like, you did not, like, so you were not thinking about that when you said, oh, okay, you did not mind it for me or something like that. You don't want to come back with one family stand or whatever. This thing should already be in place if I even tell you yes. That's it. Like, before saying yes. So you will not come back one day, one morning or whatever. I've had a few breakups, quite all right, but none of it has been because of my relation and of my health status.
Okay. Well, for me,
it could have been an underlying factor.
I was going to say that it might be an underlying factor now, because I would say that I really don't have that much experience with dating and the relationship life because I don't know. That's maybe I don't even know. But most of the time, I like to, when I meet someone new and I see they're interested, I tell them immediately. Now, I've noticed along the line there are three categories of people. The people that will literally come up and tell you that, brah, I can't continue, you know, to talk to you or trying to make this work just so because of your health. I literally had someone, you know, that literally slid into my DM, did this, did that, and then immediately I came out about it. He stopped talking to me, and then I text him and I'm like, wow, why did you stop talking to me and all of that. It was like, hey, when I told him about it, and like, he kind of stressed himself, right? And that life is stressful. And so he imagined one day, oh, I'm in his house, and then, oh, and I start having pains, and then I, God forbid, die, and all of that. Nigerian police will know, yeah, they'll say, oh, he has killed me. He literally told me all of these things to my face. And I'm like, wow, good riddance.
You see, I'm driving at what you just said. you see what I've actually been saying. Like, you've allowed them to know, like, you've done your own part by letting them know what you have. I mean, it's left to them. Nobody can. Do you understand? It's their choice to not lead you on. If they cannot handle you.
True.
It's their choice to not lead you on.
Yeah.
It's like childish. It's outright stupid, if I can say. When you know what you're entering, and then you enter it, and then you're like, and you want to come up with excuses after. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, that's what I'm trying to say, that you can, okay. I mean, they could even try to, maybe, I don't know, look for other things to throw at your face, but not come and tell you outrightly that I'm breaking up with you because of your health. You knew my health before now, before I said yes. Do you understand? Don't come and put it in my face that you want to break up with me because of my health. That's the other things. I will accept that.
And then I was grateful for that, even though it hurts that, oh, you would say that to my face. But like, I just figured that, oh, thank God for saving me from that, because you're outright insensitive, and then you could have put it in a better way.
Very, very insensitive.
And then the other set of people is the one that wants to form they're woke or they're educated. Do you know what I mean? So, like, this one, so I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't really mind. It's nothing. And, you know, life's good and all of that. But in their hearts of heart, they've cancelled ever having a future with you taking it so fast, as far as what you're hoping to go through. Do you get what I mean?
That's why it's necessary. Before saying yes, I always want to have that conversation properly. Like, the way I will not, you know, I will not force you to say things that you're supposed to say. You are going to lead yourself on. Like, I'll let the guy just, you know, I'll leave him to just talk, you know. And you know what you want in a partner concerning your health, you would actually know whether you want to go on with it or not. That's what I think. Like, if you actually calm down and let them show themselves to you, you don't even have to say too much. You've done your part. You said, oh, this is what you have. Are you ready to accept me like this? But you don't even have to be pressing it. You don't even have to keep telling them. It will be bugging them themselves. I mean, if you don't give them that power, you know, it's like, oh, okay, fine. You've accepted being in a relationship with this person. Hey, your SS. or you have sickle cell, you know, that kind of thing, and then you don't want to be putting it in their faces every time that I hope you're going to do this because you know my health. No. So I'll be the one to watch you. I won't let you be the one. I won't allow the man to, like, you know, just, I won't let him control whatever feelings I have. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Watch you. That's when I said you should know when to walk away. When you see that what is doing and his attitude and his actions are not even aligning, especially when it comes to your health, maybe it is not, it's not concerned, it's not whatever, walk away. As I used to tell people with my health, with my kind of health issues, know how much you're going to be invested in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, know how much.
Mm-hmm.
So that when it's time to walk away, you would actually know. And if you know that, yes, this man is like,
it's not worth it, because like I really don't want that stress in my life, because like I'm already in this, so like and that's why I've been single for the longest, and I really don't care, because mm-hmm. I know that this is one important thing in my life. If I'm going to do it, I need to do
very,
it
very
good.
Important.
I need to do it well, so I'm not on the pace that everybody else is on. I'm not like the other girl.
Have you guys heard about this, I don't know, this notion or something that foreign guys or foreign guys, that's what we call them, would like be more accepting of your status than, you know, these are our normal Nigerian men.
Yes, that's true. Yes. Like, that's true, 100%.
They might not care about how what their family think. Like, these are mm-hmm. Nigerian men that want to go by what their father and their mother
mm-hmm.
says.
Mm-hmm.
And truth be told, you know, when I first heard about that thing, I was thinking, life. Mm-hmm. But then I actually, you know, when you actually meet a very exposed person, it's actually not usually a problem if you check it well. Like, mm-hmm. if you are with somebody that's actually very exposed, maybe somebody that I studied abroad, or somebody that, you know, that like has a mentality that is not totally Nigerian, in quotes, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Usually not a, like, you can, they know what to do to you, they know how to make you feel, you know, all right, even about your health and stuff, and it's just usually not a problem in general. I think it's not actually kind of cool.
Basically, in that category of the people that I said, they like to claim they are woke, of their work, but they've mm-hmm. already put in their mind that this is where they can't marry you, or they can't go so far mm-hmm. with you, but like for that moment you're the flavor of the moment, and then they will take you as far as they want you to go to. That's where, and in that category are some, like Shay said, educated or exposed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so sad because you can't actually differentiate it, so but in their mind they've told you, oh rah, I can't marry her, or I can't, she can't never go, we can't be that, or we can't go that far. But you, that you're going into the relationship, you already know that, oh, you're investing in this thing, you're trying to make this work and all of that, but you know, not knowing to you, they already totaled you in their mind. And that's like the second category of people. And then your third category of people that, you know, they genuinely don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
They will take care of you. They are good. They are woke. They know what to do and everything and all of that, but they'll never date you.
Mm. I think I met some of those kind of people.
Never date you. They will literally follow you to the hospital. They will take care of you. They will buy you presents.
They'll
call the
check and stuff like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but like, they'll never date you. They are definitely even AA, but they'll never date you. So,
you know, I was on this group platform last week, and a lady shared her experience relationship-wise. She said that she was about to, she met a guy, he proposed and all, and she was to meet his family. And then she told him her genotype, like she came out to tell him her genotype and all, after maybe like a year of their relationship. And then he didn't believe her, he thought she was joking. And then she said, why would she joke about such a thing? What, like, what's there to be funny about, or what's the joke? And then he came back like a week after to tell her that his family did not believe what she said, and they asked that she goes for a medical test with the results, for her to bring back the results to the family to actually confirm it. She went, she did the test, she brought the results. She said they, from their body language and all, at first they thought she was lying or she cooked up a result. She said she kept wondering why she would want to do that. And then later they told her that they sent the guy back to her to tell her their medical doctor, their family doctor said you should not get married to someone like her because they always die during childbirth. You know, a whole lot of myths.
Yeah.
They die during childbirth.
The medical doctor actually said that.
No, nobody's going to say the medical doctor.
Talk about the gist now. They die while they're giving birth. It's not okay for him to get married to someone like that. A whole lot of lies and all, cooked up lies. And then it really hurt her, but then he had to go, right? It was her mental health over whatever drama their family was having. So she had to let him go. She said about 3 to 4 months after, he now came back to beg, saying actually there was no medical doctor anywhere. It was his family that told him that. And then he was looking for an easy way to tell her or to cut ties with her. You get? So that's why he came up with the medical doctor bullshit. Sorry for the swearing. And then he came to tell her that and all. But then now he feels like it is his own decision. It's his own decision. He doesn't need his family to make that decision for him. And she said she told him, I'm very sorry. I'm glad you have come up to that realization. But then I'm very sorry. It's too late. You can't just stroll in, make some random comments and stroll out, and then you think you're strolling again. Yeah. So, you know, literally, sometimes people's decisions, sometimes guys' decisions, ladies. I have a friend that has been treated badly by ladies. He's a warrior and he has really been treated badly by ladies. You know, so sometimes you don't get a chance to walk over people's emotions and feelings. And sometimes some people do it because they are influenced by other people's comments and actions.
Sure. That's why dating a matured mind is actually very necessary.
Yeah, basically, for warriors out there, before you enter into it, make sure that you take precaution. You're not like every other girl. This relationship marriage thing, it's not like how every other person's relationship / marriage is gonna work, you know, be. So expect something.
You said the right thing, and I think another thing to add is that sickle cell patients should not always try to instill fear in their partner. Like, it's very, very key. Like, don't make it seem like, oh, they're actually getting into something very dangerous. I mean, you can encourage them even by yourself. You can tell them, oh yes, you know, it could be a lot, you know, maybe somebody that is like me. But then you let them know that you probably know how to handle yourself, and you just give them some sort of assurance that, I mean, you're not going to lay everything down on them alone, that you can handle it, you know, quite well. And then, you know, just let them know that it's not actually as bad as it is.
Also, I'd like to really add before that, as much, you know, sometimes the whole idea of love comes in, and I'll explain what I mean. Sometimes you randomly meet people and you really like them, you really feel their vibe, and then at the end of the day, you realize you're not compatible. Now, I've met a couple of people who don't care. They don't care about the fact that you're compatible or not. I've met someone tell me, you know, there's actually a 50% chance we give birth to AS children, you know, so why don't we take that chance?
Yeah.
So I would tell you, don't take that chance. As enticing or as tempting as it might be sometimes to want to give it a trial, give it a shot, and be hopeful about the fact that maybe it might not turn out, you know, sideways.
Yeah,
don't take that risk.
I know a warrior that actually got married to somebody that is AS. Like, her husband is AS. They said they took the 50-50 chance, and you know, they tried to make the story look so good that yes, they were in love, and then they decided not to, you know, they tried to like give it a chance, and then they actually got lucky. Their daughter is their daughter came out AS. Mm-hmm. They had just one kid, you know. Like, so I'm just trying to say that. I mean, I know instances like that, but personally, I would not advise you to, you know, do that. No matter how well somebody wants to paint that picture, no matter how nice you want to paint the picture, or you can actually let go sometimes and not be bothered about your genotype compatibility, don't try. Do or die of fear. You just have to be AA for you to have your peace of mind.
Yeah. All right, so moving on, we are talking about religion and religious aspect. How far does your faith carry you? How far does your faith take you?
this?
Well, it doesn't go far, but like everybody says, I come from a praying black woman, so she helps me with that part. My faith is very, very tiny. I forget it really quickly. For it's not, doesn't hold that much at all. My mom covers that. Let me just say that I'm spoiled when it comes to that aspect, because even at my age and even up till now, I still have questions that I need to ask, and you know, I'm not getting the answers. So I can't say much about that really. But I'm a Christian and I love God.
Okay, so Shay,
I would say my faith actually goes a long way, because I've been in certain situations that I've come out from, and it holds, and it can only be God. It just has to be God. Like, I don't want to know. So yeah, my mother's prayers, I mean, that woman's faith is strong, has, I don't know, it's really strong. Her still could have covered it. I mean, could still be covering me, but personally I have this connection when it comes to, you know, my faith and God. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, I'm a Christian, quite all right, and I just always want to believe that it is what it is, and at the same time I always know that God's plan would always and always come to pass. So yes, my faith helps me a lot. I just believe that, man, that I'm here. My faith helps me like each day. It takes me through each day, let me just put it like that. Like, if I, you know, if every morning when I pray, I thank God that I thank God for, you know, making me see that day. Because yes, we all have at the back of our minds that, you know, sickle cell, we don't know, we could drop anything. When I say drop, I mean, you know, get and stuff, like, you don't know how long we can go. So each day, you know, conquering each day for me is always like something to be very grateful for. And I always have faith that, I mean, God's plan is never bad. So after whatever happens, it just has to be God that orchestrated this. I mean, man proposes, God disposes, you know, like you say. So I just have faith that everything had to end, you know, like we all say, would actually be all right with God. It helps me a lot. I've never actually doubted the fact that He loves me, you know. Even in my pain crises, I always try not to try to blame God. I mean, I'm always like, God, you molded me like this. Do you understand? Let's just say that I actually have a very strong faith that I'm going to be alright. I mean, at the end,
alright. So real quick before we end it, what brought about that question is about the fact that, you know, a whole lot of us, whenever we're going through our pain crises and all, whenever we are down, we have times when we actually call God and ask questions. Honestly, sometimes it's like we are at that point in time, it's like we're face to face with Him and we're asking pertinent questions, like what's going on and all. Sometimes we say a whole lot of things, and you know, at that point, how we feel at that time makes us make some certain sentences or statements from our pains, you know, to just express how we're feeling at the moment. So literally, my faith in general takes me, well, my faith has been really helpful, but then there are times, that's the truth, there are really down times that I make some sentences and statements that I really do not mean from my heart. Sometimes I push people away, lock people far away from me, you know, ask questions, want to know why I have to go through all this. So I've learned what I now do now is, or what I've been doing past previous pain crises is, whenever I go through such, I just start listening to music, gospel music, pray, listen to songs, sing songs, because I love singing. So just sing songs to make me feel better, close my eyes and just talk to God and hope that things will get better. Thank you so much, Shay. Thank you so much, Lovejoy, for being on this episode. I had so much fun. And Shay, I'm trusting that you join us for episode 3.
Yes, episode 3.
Okay, so episode 3, we'll be talking about stigmatization, myths and facts, high maintenance, treatment, pregnancy factor, concussion, and you know, some people had questions for us the last time, so we wrote them down and we'll definitely be addressing them on episode 3. Thank you so much for staying tuned. I love you guys so much. I love you, Shay. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Lovejoy. Thank you so much, you guys. It was so much fun doing this. See you on next episode. Bye.
Bye.
Hi guys. guys, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I'm sure you enjoyed it. Do not forget to like, subscribe, follow, comment, share with friends, and also follow our IG account at Love and Life Podcast or Podcast Love and Life. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for tuning in. I love you. Bye.